We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
We're rolling. Did you ever work with Burt Watson back in the day?
Love that guy, yeah.
We're rolling!
Man, he'll have you ready to run through a wall.
Wasn't that the best? You know what I mean? For the people that don't know Burt Watson, if you're new to the, if you're a newer UFC fan, he was the guy backstage, kind of like the coordinator. And like, you would be backstage waiting to warm up, and you just he had such command and such control. He was firm but fair. He was just a cool fucking guy. And like, we roll in, baby. This is what we do and why we do it. We're the best in the world. And he come in, Bisping, let's go. And it's like, wow, you know,
ready,
I do miss that guy. Anyway, random tangent to start the show. Welcome to said show, Anthony Smith. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Yeah, man, I don't got a whole lot going on, to be honest with you. It's goddamn October, right? So we've been doing all this pumpkin shit. I'm a basic white bitch. I mean, I'll wear UGG boots.
I always say that. You are a basic white bitch.
I'm a basic white bitch. Pumpkin spice lattes. I drink the pumpkin coffee. I love the smells. You know what I fucking hate, though? The actual pumpkins. I don't know why. They fucking smell funny. They're all ugly, and my wife loaded up my entire vehicle yesterday with pumpkins and different kind of other little, what are those things called? Yeah, I don't know. My whole front of my house is just pumpkins everywhere, and I'm tripping over them. I'm falling down. I got a bad leg. I'm going to get fucking crippled by a pumpkin around my house. I'm telling you.
But do you do the whole carving of said pumpkins?
Yeah. My kids do.
Yeah. No, that's great. I got a
good one.
Go ahead.
You know those door-to-door salesmen?
I want to feel your pain, because it's the same way. Like, to be fair, it's kind of interesting that it's taken this long. We are actually in October. Certainly in the States, you know, and I love living here, so I'm not talking shit, or there, because I'm in Bulgaria. I feel like I've lived there for fucking 17 years at this point. You guys get crazy for the holiday seasons. You make a big deal out of Halloween. Oh. Christmas starts in fucking at the end of October. Halloween starts normally in the summer. Do you know what I mean? Easter's in fucking January. You know what I mean? I get it. These stores, they want to sell all the shit, but it does get a bit much. By the time it comes, you're over it big time. But pumpkin, yeah. I'm not a big actual fan of pumpkin.
Yeah, I'm not either. I like the pumpkin flavored things, but they don't actually taste like pumpkin. So it's like, I got 150 fucking pumpkins. Once it's over, then it just, they start rotting, they get all stinky, and they're all soft and squishy. It's fucking gross. I hate it.
It is gross. Let me ask you about the pumpkin carving. Do you like draw it on like the pumpkin with like a marker pen or something first, or you just freestyle it?
So what we've been doing with the kids is we've been painting them. Because,
by the way, this is why you tuned into this podcast. You want to know how we carve a goddamn pumpkin.
Right. You have to know. And listen, I might give someone a little piece of advice. I've found that my kids enjoy painting them more than they like carving them. So me and my wife will carve ours, but it's way less of a mess. And then we get like that clear, like polyurethane spray. And then they fucking paint the pumpkins and then you spray it with that stuff and then they don't, they last longer and it looks better. But I've been using the little Dremel tools and carving, like it's like a little drill kind of thing. And I've been carving it with that.
Of course you do. Anthony Smith, the only man alive to start using power tools on a pumpkin because you're a real goddamn man.
Well, it's
surprised you're not using a steel saw.
Well, no, I it's how I avoid having to like cut the top of it off and then get all the bullshit out of it. So I don't carve all the way through it. I just kind of like carve into the pumpkin. And I don't, so I don't actually have to like get all the nasty gross shit. I fucking hate sticking my hands in there. And I would stick my hand in the body of a dead animal way before I would stick it inside of a pumpkin.
What wouldn't you stick a hand in?
If I could avoid it, a pumpkin for sure.
You'll stick a, obviously being a farm man, you'd stick your hand up a donkey's or a cow's ass, right?
I mean, if it called for it, for sure. Not for fun, but if
Laura
I had
Sanko
to.
Did that recently, I think, on looking for a fight or something.
She does that every day. they just happen to Laura's ranch.
That's in the bedroom. Sorry, Laura. Sorry, Laura.
I've taken my kids to her ranch. She is straight up, she lives that life. Like her ranch is huge. She's probably got 200 head of cattle. Like it's, I mean, she's working on that farm every day.
Yeah, no, Laura's
so she's elbow deep in a cow's ass every day.
Elbow deep in a cow's ass. So a donkey, would you do a donkey?
I just can't think of a reason you'd need to. But if I had to, for sure.
What else? What kind of other animal could you do that to? Because it's going to be of a certain size.
It'd be harder to find an animal I wouldn't do it to if there was a good reason for it.
So Anthony Smith is up for sticking his forearm, starting with his fist.
Well, no, you got to get your fingers together. You don't want to fucking violate them. You got to squeeze.
Well, no,
it
of
in
course
you
got
to spit on it or something.
You got to ooze it in. You got to work it up. You got to lather it. You know.
You don't want him running from you every time you walk by.
No, you want that animal to, when he looks at you, says, oh, here we go. I'm about to get shafted by Anthony Smith's giant forearm. Welcome to the show, everyone. Yeah. Oh, dear. Where were we? Where were we going? You changed the subject from pumpkins.
I was going to complain. I got fucked by one of those door-to-door salesmen big time today.
I used to be one.
Like, probably 3 months ago, some guy knocked on the door and he was like, hey, we're doing this drawing around the neighborhood. You win this free air purifier. Well, that's all you got to get me. Like, I never win shit. So I always try. I don't win a fucking thing ever. So I sign up for this little.
And when he says air purifier, I'm sorry to interrupt because I know people go, Bisping always interrupts. I'm trying to piggyback off the point that he just said. Yeah. You'll do anything for air purifier.
I just want to win. That's it. I don't even want the air purifier. I just wanted to win the drawing. Because I never win anything. So I sign up for it. Sure as shit, they call. And so my wife is like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, everybody wins, stupid. They're just trying to get in your house and sell you something. I was like, no, I won. So they've been trying to meet up to, like, bring this purifier to my house. So he comes today. Like, he just catches me at the house today. And he comes in. He's got these two little air purifiers. I'm feeling like I'm a bad mom. I'm the winner. What are you talking about? And then he carries in all his other shit and says, hey, you got some time? I'd love to try to show you this. And so I was like, yeah, I got a couple minutes. Next thing I know, this dude has a $3,000 vacuum. It's all spread all over the house. And he's cleaning carpets and couches and pillows. And by the end of it, I'm working for this guy because I'm like, come, babe, look at this.
Like, this is amazing. Look at the suction on this bad boy. He's pouring out glasses of wine on your cream carpet. He's like, look at this. The Miracle Spray 5000 removes this. No problem. Back in the day, you would have to do this. And you're like, oh my God.
I was mind blown. I was blown away. And so we're doing all this other stuff and I'm pulling my wife into it and she's vacuuming the floors. So I'm vacuuming it. Long story short, I bought the fucking vacuum. And
yes! A $3,000 vacuum.
Well, he cut me a pretty good deal on it.
I was going to say, life's good for you.
It was actually kind of a cool story. He said, he's talking the whole time, and he's a very super
good
nice
salesman
guy.
Salesman by the sounds of it.
Very good. But he was a really nice guy, and you could tell he was like a man of faith, right? So he says...
Well, there you go. Says it all.
He cuts me this deal, right? And it's a really good deal. And...
Yeah, $2,999 off.
Well, he says, you know, me and you have had a couple interactions before. And I'm like, fuck, that's never good. And like 2007, he went somewhere in Sioux City, Iowa, and he went to use the bathroom at a bowling alley. Connected to the bowling alley was like a little event center thing that they would rent out, and he said he peeked his head in there. This is in 2007. Peeked his head in there, and in there was a cage, like an MMA cage, and I was fighting in it in 2007 in Iowa.
That's cool.
And then some years later, he was with his friend. He said he had a gay friend. They got accused of pinching some girl's ass at a club, and I was at the club. And so he got thrown out and like was going to get beat up by a bunch of guys. And for whatever reason, I was outside and was like, hey, what are we doing here, guys? You guys can't beat this poor guy up. And so I guess I like separated them and like kind of helped him out in that situation. And then like 12 years later, now he's selling me a vacuum that I shouldn't have bought.
I mean, call me Captain Obvious, but wouldn't the people have known that if they're gay, they'd be the last person to be sexually assaulting a female? I don't know.
That's what he said.
Wrong?
He was, yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. Weird. There's my weird fucked up odd story for the
day. Yeah. No, it's good. You know, I used to be a
dope. And now I got a dope ass vacuum.
Fuck, I can't wait to see it, man. What's it called?
When we get off of here.
What's it called? It's, the Vacuum S3000.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
God damn it.
What color is it?
Do what?
Color.
Oh, it's black.
Is it, there's like see-through bits on it and whatnot, you can see all the shit building up inside it.
It's almost exactly like the rainbow vacuums, you know, with the little water things in the bottom.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm worried for you. Now I'm worried. I reckon we can find one of those bad boys online for way less than what you paid
probably,
for it.
Probably. I got screwed.
Yeah, I used to be a door-to-door salesman, you know, and it's bloody terrible. It's terrible. And this is back in the day. I think I've talked about this before. I was very overweight. I had a skinhead. I didn't have the best sales technique, you know, and if people think I'm abrupt and rude now, you should have seen me in bloody 2001 when I was like 21 years old. So anyway, point of the story now,
What were you selling before you
Two things. First of all, was double glazing. Okay. Trying to get people double glazing, trying to get their old windows into like,
glass. Got it.
Glass windows. Yeah. Got it. And then it was trying to get people to switch over their gas supply to a privatized company called Npower in England. Yeah, it was a fucking miserable job. Because you got like your little basic pay, which was literally almost nothing. And you get sold this dream, like a pyramid scheme. You're going to work your way up and then you're going to recruit your own salesman. And before you know it, you're going to make thousands. You're going to be driving Lamborghinis and Lamborghini yachts. And no, I didn't sell a goddamn thing. Walking around, I'd get the bus to Blackburn, I'd be doing it, had it all day. You get back at like 10, 11 o'clock at night, hadn't made a sale. It was the most depressing thing. Rebecca was pregnant, though, and it was the only job I had, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, point of the story is that now, whenever I get, and I don't now because we live on like a gated community, but back in the day, if you got a knock at the door and it was a door-to-door salesman, I always give them the time of day. I always like, I'm polite and talk to them a little bit. Yeah, because they're just doing a job and they're trying to hustle. They're trying to make money. They're not trying to con you. They're just, fuck, this is all they can do right now. You know what I mean? So that's a little lesson. That's what they've got, man. That's all they've got.
I'm just doing something for the people.
Harrington says, is it the vacuum Avalara 27?
It is not. I'm so mad because I've been bragging about it all damn day.
You're the only man.
Because I'm so pumped about it. It's a pretty badass vacuum.
Fucking love it. Love it. Bollocks to all the little trinkets you can get. Anthony Smith just wants a great vacuum and no pumpkins. Nice, but at least you know all that pumpkin shit.
Wait, here
you
it
can
is.
Suck that bad boy up.
What the hell?
Here we go. Da-da-da-da-da-da. It's the Avalara 26.
No, I can't see it. So part of the deal was I could get a good deal if I traded in my rainbow vacuum. So then he took a picture with me and the new one and the rainbow to like say fuck you to the other company, which is really funny.
No, they're using your image and likeness, Anthony.
But I got a good deal on a vacuum and I won something. So I
now you're a spokesperson and that picture will be on the Instagram website. You know what I mean?
No, it's one of those water ones. It's got like the water. Where's my wife?
Brian, that's just a random vacuum. There's thousands on the market. Yeah. Brian, Anthony, you should have got that bad boy for free.
Well, I Googled door to door vacuums and then just found one.
Should have got it.
There is
my brother, my older brother, Stephen, shout out Stephen. He used to do that back in the day as well. Anyway, as much as I'm invested in this,
I know
we're going to move on.
I got screwed, huh? I should have got it for free.
But you did a picture. It's going to be on the website. It's going to be on the Instagram. You're going to be there going, this is the best thing ever. It should have been free. real quick, we'll touch on this very, very quickly. I don't want to throw fuel on the fire, and I'm not interested in any beef or whatever. Obviously, we talked about McGregor firing fucking stray bullets at me for whatever reason and talked a bit of shit. So we had a laugh about it on the podcast. And, you know, I must have touched a nerve, bless him, because he came out and he's throwing all kinds of insults around, threatening to cave my head in, and people, and all the stories, you know, like Daily Mirror and whatnot. Because obviously, you know, the clickbait, you know, taken out of context. I didn't say what I said, but if you watch the show, we were having a laugh.
Yeah, it was fun.
I said, make sure you get your security with you or whatever. It's a fucking joke. Obviously, there was no threats from my end there whatsoever. He's kind of fucking flipped a little bit on it, hasn't he? Do you know what I mean? Lost his mind. Anyway, Connor, relax, buddy. Jesus, goddamn Christ. Anyway, there you go. There you go. I've been told to keep my name out of his fucking mouth. I'm not going to do that.
Be careful.
Well, I can't do that. I talk about MMA, and he's the biggest star in MMA. When you become a star of that kind of magnitude, people are going to talk. So, anyway, there you go.
I didn't say I was going to tweet, but I just, you could tell he was so angry and he was just flipping out. There was not going to be like any reasoning with him. All I was going to do was point the gun at me, and it would have just fueled it. You're more of an adult than I am. So,
well, I'm just a little bit older.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I am mature. I'm not interested, because everyone on Twitter was like, what's the beef? And my tweet was, there's no beef. He for some reason started throwing shots at me about my acting work, and we had a laugh about it on the podcast. That was it. I guess I am maturing. I'm not interested. I don't even think about the guy. That's the way it goes. You get older, you learn to turn the other cheek. You know,
I'm not there yet.
Is that a Bible reference? Turn the other cheek.
I don't know. I'm not real versed in the Bible.
It is, I am. I'm obviously every night study the Bible, several chapters and psalms and verses and things.
Well, yeah, I've calmed you down.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Tonight will be chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four evangelists, by the way. Tonight, I said we weren't going to talk about this. I almost got assaulted and beaten up in a Bulgarian gym. I told you before, didn't I?
I'm glad they didn't kick your ass. It'd be real tough doing this with you at two black eyes or something.
Yeah, so I believe. Yeah, but even harder turning up on set tomorrow to do a scene that we started today. You know what I mean? We got to finish it tomorrow, and I'm smashed to pieces. I told you before, so I'll keep it quick. I'm lifting weights. I'm on a bench. The whole row of dumbbells in front of me is not being used, and I've got like the 26 kilo. Right, I'm just like doing some shoulder press, and I'm sitting on a bench. Two guys come up, say, one of them says, "Can I use your weights?" I'm like, "No, sorry, I'm using these." You know, and in my mind, I'm like, "We can use the 25 or the 27 or whatever it was, because all the other weights are there, and they go up in like 1 or 2 kilo increments." Do you know what I mean? You
want one down, and they'd be fine.
Yeah, you want these ones? There's loads of others. Sorry if it's not the optimum one you want, but I'm using these. Give me 5 minutes, you can have them. And then his buddy goes, "I want to use your bench." I'm like, "Well, I'm clearly using the bench." I said, 5 minutes, you know? And then they kind of stood there and stared at me. I'm like, "What's going on here?" And then two of the mates show up, like big juice heads covered in tattoos and whatnot. And like, you could just tell they're all chatting away in Bulgarian. I knew they were talking about me. You know what I mean? I was like, "Oh, for fuck's sake, here we go." So I'm trying to be careful, you know, I don't get a dumbbell over the back of my head and whatnot, you know. I haven't got eyes in the back of my head, and I haven't got eyes in the right side of my head either. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like constantly like looking around. And I think, fuck it, I'll go over to a different part of the gym. There's some machines over there just to try and diffuse it a little bit. And then they come over there. They follow me over there straight away. And I'm like, "Oh, for fuck's sake. For fuck's sake." So I'm turning into a proper bitch in my old age. I'm getting abused by McGregor. Ooh, you're hard. And then I'm running away from gyms.
I'm proud of you, actually. I'm really proud of you. Maybe it's just you're a little bit older than me, and you know, you've done a lot more in life. So there's a maturity that comes with that. Like, once they asked for the weights, I probably would have been like, "I'm using them." Like, you get them in a little bit. But then when they tried to take my bench, when there's a whole bunch of other ones, those weights and bench would immediately be mine forever. Like, I'd hide them behind me. say, you got to go through me, motherfucker. Like I would, I'd be so defensive. And then the more people that came in, I just start looking around like, all right, I'm going to throw that dumbbell at that guy. And you're smarter than I am. You're like, well, let's just get out of here. This isn't worth it.
There was no like kind of intimidation factor, but it was just kind of the fact that it's a Monday night. I've just had a fucking super long day on set, right? I'm trying to squeeze in a quick workout before I do the podcast. I'm not trying to get into a fight in a gym. Do you know what I mean? And let's say it did, and the cops show up, and the English guy, the cage fighter, they're not going to believe me. All of a sudden, I'm in a fucking Bulgarian police cell. Do you know what I'm saying?
And it's hard to shoot your scene tomorrow from jail.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure.
Nobody wants to be in jail in another country. Like, no way. That's one of my biggest fears. Like, I've been in enough trouble as a youngster. I could figure out, like, you end up in jail here in the States or whatever. Like, I'll figure it out. I don't know what I would do. Like, how do you get out of jail in Bulgaria? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. That's why I don't want to go. All right, let's just talk about Manscaped. You know the deal right now. If you're a man, you got to groom downstairs. You got to take care of it. You got to keep it in check. You got to trim it. You got to stay hygienic and you got to be presentable. Well, if not for yourself, for your other half, for your partner, for your wife. You know, it gets a little unsightly, it gets a little bit crazy, but it can be challenging. It can also be painful to do so. We've all done it. We've all used a beard trimmer or whatever to groom your package, and you end up damaging the package pretty badly. Sometimes it stings, it hurts, it cuts. Not anymore with the Manscaped, right? We all know it's got the skin-safe technology. Right now, they're on the fourth version, the 4.0. It's better than ever. If you've got the old one, get the new one. The 4.0 is a million times better, light, waterproof, battery power, all that good stuff. Goes on for days. But we're offering you the performance package, the 4.0. You get the trimmer, of course. You get the weed whacker for your nose and hair, the crop preserver, ball deodorant. You get the Crop Reviver Toner. You also get a couple of boxer briefs. So when you've got it all looking nice and dandy, undies to go over the top. And of course, you need a travel bag to put them all in. So that's what you get in the performance package. When you go to manscaped.com and use the code BISPING20, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping. Also, you've got the shear kit to take care of your toenails, stainless steel toenail clippers, tweezers, grooming scissors, so you can take care of your feet, having them all looking nice and dandy. If you've got your penis in check, you need your feet in check as well. No one wants to stand there. You know, you pull a girl, you go back to your room, you strip down. She's like, oh, yeah, I like the look of that. It's all good. But then you look down at your feet and you know, you've got like, I don't know, feet of an ogre. My feet weren't the best. I got the Shear 2.0 kit. Oh, my God. Rebecca loves my feet these days. So give it a shot. Give it a try. Manscaped.com. Bisping20 is the code. You're going to get 20% off and the all-important free shipping. Have you ever been arrested, Anthony?
Yeah, lots of times. Yeah.
I thought so. I thought it kind of comes with the territory, doesn't it? You know, growing up like we do.
Yeah.
Fighters, you cut from a certain cloth. Do you have a little tale for us of one time that you don't mind sharing?
Yeah. I got a bunch of those. I've just told them
all on the podcast many times. You know what I mean?
I never really hurt anybody. You know, mine was any fights I got into were all mutual combat situations. I wasn't ever, never stole anything. I never, Same. You know, I never fucked anybody over. It was a lot of partying too hard, you know, and then you end up in a dust up. I've told the car accident one before. Probably not on here though, but when I was 20, I was a rebel, you know, and my grandpa passed away when I was a teenager and I didn't deal with it very well. So, he was like the man in my life, you know, my dad was never around or whatever. And I just took it really bad. So I was partying super hard and, it was the first time I'd ever done any drugs and I didn't know what drugs like did to you. I've never been like a big drug guy and I was always just a beer drinker. And so I ended up like doing some weird drugs and not really knowing what I was going to do. Well, long story short, I was drinking all night and the morning comes and we find someone that was old enough, bought us some more alcohol the next morning. Well, I ended up passing out in my car at some house party.
So if you couldn't buy alcohol, what are you like, 18, 19, 20?
I was 20. Yeah, I was 20.
Yeah.
So it's like 11 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. And I passed out in my car where the party was. And for whatever reason, they didn't want me sleeping in my car outside the house. So someone had came out and woke me up and like, hey, you got to get the fuck out of here. And apparently I passed back out and they woke me up again. And like I couldn't figure out how to turn the car on. So someone turned the car on and like put it into gear for me. And so I backed out and I, legit though. That's a true story.
No, I know.
And I backed out and I hit a car. Well, then everyone else got super pissed and they were like, get him the fuck out of here. So they put it in drive and I just drove on down the road. Well, like as I was trying to make it home on this gravel road, I passed out driving and ended up in this real bad car accident. I got life flighted, was on a ventilator for a little while. And then,
wow.
Yeah, it was a bad deal. And then when I got out of the hospital, I was shortly arrested for drinking and driving, obviously, and DUI and all that stuff. But yeah, it was kind of like that turning point where, and I met my wife shortly after that. And you know, life's been pretty good since then.
Well,
but yeah.
Yeah. For guys like us and well, for a lot of people, I guess you got to make these dumb mistakes when you're a kid, you know, and hopefully you learn from it and you don't continue to make them. You know what I mean? We're all human beings. And listen, you didn't really make a mistake. You got drunk. And that's always the thing as well when we're younger, you know, getting inebriated and being foolish.
All of my stuff is making stupid decisions when I'm partying too hard. I've never been in trouble sober, ever.
Same here. I have never got arrested sober. Like when I was a kid, and I'm talking when I was a kid, I haven't done that. I haven't been arrested since 2001. We're in 2022. 21 years. Just drunk. And I don't mean tipsy. I mean being 16, 17, 18 years old and being blackout. That's the thing I like about in America, the 21-year-old age. I think that's a fantastic thing, and I wish the UK and more countries would adopt that because we have a massive – it doesn't seem like it in California, although I'm sure there's people that do. And I'm sure, obviously, there's hardcore drinkers everywhere in the world. But the binge drinking culture – am I right in saying, or am I wrong? It doesn't appear to me like the culture is the same because in the UK, in England, Friday night, Saturday night, people go out with the intention of just getting fucked up. And that is it. That is their life. And then you get hammered drunk and you know, if you're old enough to get served, you're 16, you're 17. Yeah. You've got no business being wild drunk. And if you're an alpha male and you're a little bit cocky, you know what I mean? You're going to find yourself in dumb shit.
I think that some of that is regional too, though. Like in California, it's a little more, people in the Midwest are going to get mad at me for saying this, but they're a little more sophisticated, a little more, there's more things to do. The lifestyle and is a little bit different. You get in the Midwest, it's binge drinking is just a normal part of life on the weekends and you know, football season. It's Thursday, Saturday college football, Sunday NFL, Monday NFL, Thursday NFL again. It's just, I don't know. It's definitely regional for sure. But I do feel like when I travel, like when I was in Aruba, I was fucking blown away, Mike, at the children at the bars. Like I would go, you know, we'd stop and go have a drink or something somewhere at night after dinner. And I mean, I'm telling you, there's 13, 14, 15-year-old girls just smashed ordering shots, and I was blown away. It's like that's, and Aruba's not the only place I've seen that happen at. Like it's weird. It's so weird. And then people wonder why people end up and then people wonder why all these kids end up in these shitty situations in other countries. It's crazy.
No, absolutely. And to your point about the regional thing, you're probably right as well. I shouldn't tar the entire of the UK, although that is it is definitely a thing and it definitely is an issue. But yeah, I mean, I'm from a really small little town, you know what I mean? And not everyone, but the majority of people, they just want to go out on a Friday night and get hammered, you know? And as we said before, you do dumb stuff, you know what I mean? You just do. Anyway, should we talk about some mixed martial arts? We've been yabbering on there for 25 minutes almost about utter nonsense. But
and vacuums. So it was a, vacuums. So
well, we need to know about these things. Mackenzie Dern, let's talk about the fights at the weekend. Obviously, I'm in Bulgaria. Don't want to keep going on about it. So watching the fights is still a difficulty. I can't wait to get home. The end is in sight. Just a couple more weeks and I'll be back home. Thank God. Miss my family greatly. It's an amazing opportunity. I'm very grateful for these things. But it's always nice to go home. And I cannot wait for it. And I love the sport of mixed martial arts. And it's very difficult being a fan out here. But I did watch the main event. I'll let you take over in just a second. I saw Instagram post and some comments from Mackenzie. She was very disappointed afterwards. She apologized to people. I'm all right. She said her jiu-jitsu wasn't good enough. I thought she did really well. Of course, Zhang Jianan was the winner of the fight. And we need to talk about her more. And she did incredible. She really did. She looked vicious with the kicks. Striking was on point. The jiu-jitsu defense obviously stood up. But I, you know, I'm probably biased because I'm a teammate of Mackenzie's and I see her in the gym and I know what a sweet, lovely girl she is and I see how hard she trains. Her jiu-jitsu is goddamn phenomenal. It is phenomenal. And she showed a great chin. Listen, she was beat by the better person on the night, you know? Mm-hmm. She was beat by the better person, but I have more of a connection to Mackenzie. So I found myself watching it from that perspective a little bit more, rooting for her to win. No disrespect to Yan. But yeah, I thought she had a lot of positives to take away from that. Of course, she lost the fight, right? That's the reality. Well done to Yan. I just think if she could improve her wrestling, you know, like, I don't know if 6 months is too long, but just go away for 6 months and just work on hardcore wrestling. If she could do that and get her wrestling, you know, not catch up with the jiu-jitsu because that's probably never going to happen, but close the gap a little bit, oh my God, she would be a force to reckon with.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I think that this was the best case scenario for her, though. I really do. And I mean that more in like a long-term sense as far as where her career is going to end up and what it's going to look like when it's over. Her jiu-jitsu is so fucking good and so dangerous.
I'm just Googling her age while you talk. I apologize. Go on.
I think in her head, she's always known, like, all right, I'm just going to throw bombs on my feet. I can be wild and crazy. And if shit gets kind of wild, my jiu-jitsu is always going to be better than everybody else's. And no one's going to be able to hang with me on the ground. And no one's going to even want to or attempt to try. So I think her getting into this fight with someone who was such a fantastic striker, used her aggressiveness and her power against her. Like she counterstruck really well when Mackenzie would come in. She hit her hard a couple times. So, and then when it came to the grappling, Mackenzie had some success and gotten some good spots, but she was never able to finish. And Jiaonan, she didn't retract like a cat from water. Like she would get out of the submission and she would go right into ground and pound and then work her way to her feet and then they would reset. Mm-hmm. No one's ever really done that with Mackenzie. Everyone, the second it hits the ground, it's a mad panic and dashing to get the fuck out of there. And she didn't really do that to Mackenzie. And I think that that's a really good lesson to learn, that the girls at the highest level aren't afraid of you and they're not afraid of your jiu-jitsu. And even if they know you're better, they're still going to be there and they're going to still fight through those positions. And it's not going to just be, all right, we're grappling. I'm going to do a submission attempt. If I don't get it, she's going to bail and we're going to get back to our feet anyways. That's not how it works at the highest level of this game. So I think it's a good lesson. And I liked seeing how emotional and upset she was, not because I want her to be sad or anything, but it says a lot about someone's mindset, in my opinion, that instead of saying, oh, I had an off night or my weight cut sucked or I was milking this injury, she had no problem right afterwards sitting on Instagram and putting out a really emotional post and saying, I need to get better. I'm trying to figure it out. She was just better than me. I love it when people say that and you can tell it's genuine. Like she was just better. I need to get fucking better. Like I love that mindset because that tells me she's going to go back to the gym. She's going to bust her ass. She's going to figure out with Jason and everyone else there, where did I fuck up? How do I fix it? And where's this gap at? And that's going to make a really, really dangerous Mackenzie Dern. You hear people talk about, oh, I was just not my night. It was an off night. That usually says they're going to go back and do the same shit they did before and you're not going to see a different version.
It's absolutely true. And that kind of encapsulates it perfectly. I need to get better because you're right. A lot of people do say I had a bad night at the office. It wasn't my night. I got caught and all these things. They're excuses. Mm-hmm. They're excuses. It takes a lot of courage and bravery and self-realization to just say, you know what? I need to get better. Yeah. I wasn't good enough because as fighters, we all have tremendous egos because you have to have it. Simple as that. Whether they admit it or not, you have to have it. So to be able to be humble enough to admit, you know what? I lost because I wasn't good enough. Yeah. I lost because I wasn't good enough. That's incredibly hard. So you're right, actually, Anthony. I never looked at it from that perspective. You know, I'm glad you pointed that out because, you know, that's the only way she's going to learn. And I do hate it when I see fighters come out with every excuse under the sun and then their coaches make excuses for them as well and go, well, they were doing well and the second round was amazing and the fifth round was this and, you know, oh, she was this close away from finishing it. Not that I'm saying Jason Priller would ever say things like that. He won't. He does not sugarcoat fucking anything. But a lot of coaches do. And when I see that, I scratch my head. I go, ultimately, you're just damaging the evolution of your fighter. Because you're right. You got to say, right, shit. I got work to do. And you can see when she started doing jiu-jitsu, and again, we're talking about her more because I have more info on her. And I know her coach very well. He's one of my best friends in the world. So, Jan, congratulations. I'm excited to see her fight again. I thought she looked phenomenal. The striking was great. She did so many good things, and she won the goddamn fight. But I know Mackenzie Moore. Look at the striking. It's good now. You know what I mean? Can it be better? Yeah, sure. We're all a work in progress. The wrestling now is the next thing she needs to work on. And she'll do that.
It's that middle ground. That's the biggest problem is the transitional areas, the gray areas. It's how do you get from, you know, the best jiu-jitsu in the world, but what was Damian Maya's biggest problem? Was that if you had a really good wrestler that just didn't want to go down there, he had some serious problems. And I don't suspect
he'll guard a lot though and be very successful at that.
Right. And he was a better guard puller than McKenzie is. You know, she's not in jiu-jitsu. She wasn't a huge guard puller anyway. So she'll get there. And I thought Jan looked fantastic. I think the mindset of her being like, I don't give a fuck. Like I'll grapple with you. I don't care. I believe in my submission defense. That's a type of confidence that you can't fake. Like when she said it in the media, I'd seen a couple interviews. I thought she was full of shit. I was like, there's no way. Like she said, the way to beat Mackenzie Dern is you got to be able to be safe with her and out grapple her. I was like, I think you're full of shit. She believed it and she did it.
but you have though. You have got to do that because you got, you know, if you're fighting someone that is she is kind of a specialist. She's rounding out the skill set, but everyone knows Mackenzie Dern. It's the jiu-jitsu. But if you're a fighter, you can't be scared. You can't be backing up. You can't obsess jiu-jitsu. I've got to stay away from it. It's like, no, you got to do the work. Clearly, Uriah Faber and the rest of the guys of the team Alpha Male have done a phenomenal job with her. And I'm sure her team back home in China as well. So shout out to all of those guys. Shout out Perillo as well, my brother. Hope you're well. But you got to have the confidence to say, you know what? We're going to be in the guard. We're going to be in the guard. And we're going to fucking fight her there. And guess what? It's not a jiu-jitsu match. We're going to drop elbows. We're going to drop punches. We're going to nullify it. We're going to get bicep control. We're going to shut it down. We're not going to play that game. And we're going to fucking beat her there. You know, and God bless her. I thought Mackenzie had some amazing setups. She got very close to a couple of submissions here and there. But it wasn't a night. Mark Zuckerberg was in attendance.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to see.
Yeah, we talked about it on here before how he was so into jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And I mean,
understood all the transitions? Sorry to cut you off. Question. Do you think he understood all the transitions? Because you could clearly see he had a basic, not utter beginner, but a kind of, you know, someone that's been doing it 6 months or so, I'd say 6 months of training or whatnot. You know, I think he probably understood what he was watching.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure he's the couple of videos and clips that of him kind of watching the fights. It's that, like he just discovered something, you know, like he's seeing something that just is amazing to him. Oh, his wife's losing her shit. Star, though.
I know. His wife was losing it. Oh, just
look how focused he is. Like he's, I wish it.
Look at her. Look at her there.
I forget. He's just so in tune, you know? So like I watched him watch it. Like he's learning something like, oh, I never thought of that. Or, oh, you can go from this position to that position. I think think what you want about Zuckerberg. I know that like politically there's a lot of argument there. A lot of people don't like him. They don't like his business. They don't like the transparency. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff.
Yep.
Someone as rich and powerful and with as big of a voice as he has, kind of putting his cosign on what we do is only going to bring our sport higher and people with that kind of influence can only do good things for our sport.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. I wasn't going to say as famous or as rich or as powerful, because they're all good points. I was going to say, and this isn't an insult to him, and it sounds like it's a meathead comment, but someone kind of as nerdy as him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He is a tech genius, and you can clearly see the guy. Do you know what I mean? He's quote-unquote what you would describe as maybe a bit of a nerd. Do you know what I mean? But to see a guy like him who does have that influence, who does have that wealth, who does have that power, and to be kind of has the interest, I don't know, I know nothing about Mark Zuckerberg, but he's a fucking nerd, let's be honest. But he's awesome because he's there and he's watching the UFC. And I believe this will open up potentially another realm of people because MMA is still as hugely and wildly popular as it is. There's still its skeptics. There's still its critics. Mm-hmm. There's still people that won't give it a shot. But seeing that someone who's clearly as wildly intelligent as he is, because you don't get to that position unless you are supremely, absurdly intelligent, you know, to be an admirer of the sport and his wife is there enjoying it, it's just going to help bring in even more fans. I'm not saying he's going to be, he's the secret to breaking out to the next level. No, he's not. But it's just that acceptance.
Like, I've said that's this a good way to put it.
Yeah, the acceptance from a wider audience, because he's not typically who you would think the Just Bleed MMA fan. Do you know what I mean? Remember him, that guy that they showed?
Yeah, with his Just Bleed
tattooed on him.
Yeah.
Well, whatever on him. It was. I used to say my mother-in-law, you know, she's a very, she's not what you would describe as your typical MMA fan. And when she first started watching it, she fell in love with it straight away. You know, and I think when people do watch it with an open mind, they will. Anyway. We're not saying anything new there. Harrington, come on the show.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's How are up? You, brother?
I'm doing great.
Hey, I got a question. Sorry, okay. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, please. No, Anthony, this is your podcast. I'm merely a guest.
How is this baby thing going? Like, is there like anger? Is there sickness? Are you in trouble? How many times have you slept on the couch? Does she hate you? I guess that's the real question.
It depends on the day. Honestly, it's like riding a roller coaster, right? Because it's like
a little touch, Harrington. You've heard. Just back up a touch.
Very loud. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so it's like there's some days where it's like it's literally better than when we first started dating. You know what I mean? Like she is just all
I'm
about me.
A little bit.
What's
come
that?
Forward a touch.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So yeah, there's some days where it's really great, and then there's also days where it's an absolute.
You know that, what's that movie when they're going forward, back? What is that? What is it? You know that movie? There's no point asking.
I'm not going to fucking know.
Yeah. I think it's Couples Retreat or something like that.
Oh, might be Couples Retreat. Yeah.
I've actually seen that one.
Or something like that. Anyway, sorry.
You know what it is?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's his brother, Bill Hader.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. So the some days it's absolutely incredible. Some days it's like it's an absolute nightmare. Like her best friend, her podcast co-host is in town, and she's just been looking at me anytime my girlfriend like snaps at me and goes crazy, and she's like, "Dude, be nice to him. He hasn't done anything wrong."
Oh! She's saying to Alex, "Be nice to you." Oh, I thought
Be nice. Don't let her stick up for you, because it's only going to come back on you. Because as soon as she leaves, she's like, "Oh yeah, you ain't got no one fucking protecting you now."
That's a good.
It's only gonna come back.
And you were ganging up on me, talking all that shit. You know.
So it's going well.
Please, nobody clip this and send it to her.
Is she started to show yet?
Yeah. So we've been doing like the profile picture on the same wall every week for the last 3 weeks. So it's been pretty cool to see the progression.
Oh, see, look at that profile picture on the wall every week. Right, I did nothing like that. Anthony, did you do anything like that?
Not really. My wife took pictures, like progress pictures as she went, but she wasn't super consistent about it.
Rebecca's so pissed because we don't have many pictures or videos or anything like that. But it's the fucking 90s in 2001 or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, people didn't do that. Anyway, congrats again, Harrington. But we're going to talk about it a lot more. And we want to hear more about your pain and suffering on a weekly basis. All right, let's talk about Magic Spoon. Listen, we all love cereal. When I was a kid, I was raised on cereal, but I don't get to eat it anymore because, well, it's just not good for you, really, is it? Let's be honest. Sugar, carbs, artificial sweeteners, flavors, all that stuff, you know. So you try and avoid it, but it is delicious. It is nice. And I still love a bowl, but I do avoid it. But that is where Magic Spoon comes in because guess what? It is cereal, but it's good for you. By the way, it's also delicious. And it comes with 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein and only 4 to 5 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories per serving. It's keto friendly. It's gluten free. It's grain free. It's soy free. And as I said, it's also low carb. As I said, as a kid, one of the best things was eating cereal. I loved it. I'd have 5-6 bowls a day, but you got to stop it. Now I can go back to it. Trust me, I've tried this stuff. I love it. It's delicious. You know, their variety pack comes with 4 delicious flavors. You get the cocoa, you get the fruit, you get the frosted and the peanut butter, whichever one is your favorite. And I'm sure you will have one. Give it a try. Get your cereal boost. Settle those cereal cravings by going to magicspoon.com/believe. When you go to that link, you're going to get 5% off. So as I say, click that link, go to magicspoon.com and use that code believe, $5 off. And check this out. They're so confident that you're going to love this product. It is backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So for whatever reason, if you don't like it, they will refund all of your money, no questions asked. That's how confident they are in this product. Check it out. Helps help our show. Help yourself. Get cereal. Get lean. Get healthy. Go to magicspoon.com/believe. Get $5 off your order. And if you don't like it, send it back and get your cash back. Go on then. Give us one.
All right. So speaking of
all right.
Yeah, that's my, you know, sorry, it's my broadcast day. I'm getting into it. So
I like it.
Speaking of tech nerds, Elon Musk showed off his new robot Optimus at a demonstration this weekend. He came out, you know, looking kind of like Jake Paul's mascot, you know, just coming out lumbering a bit. And people on Twitter are dragging Musk right now, you know, saying that there's been better robots built by Boston Design and a number of other firms for years. So, you know, to bring this one out and showcase it might have been a little bit preemptive, you know, for just how awkward it was moving on stage with him.
No, but hold on. Yeah, before you were telling us, because if there is a video, I haven't seen it, but you were saying that this is a robot designed to kind of take over the menial tasks that people have to do on a day-to-day basis, and it'll go on sale pretty soon for roughly $20,000.
Yeah, so Musk actually, like, he differentiated between, you know, Boston Dynamics and these other firms that are just building, like, an awesome prototype. He said this one is actually going to be built for mass consumption. They're going to be priced at about $20,000, and they're going to just do the menial tasks around your house that you don't want to do. So program it to take out the trash, maybe.
It's a robot.
Yes, it's a full-on robot.
No. But you know, like, typically they'll talk about a robot and it comes out and it looks like a garbage can on wheels.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That looks like a robot.
Is a T, what is it? Cyberdyne Systems in your face. The T-1000 Hasta La Vista, baby. Oh my God. It is awesome, but that's also terrifying.
What kind of shit can this do?
Well, like I said, pretty much any task you don't want to do around your house. So if you wanted to clean out the cat's litter, if you wanted to take out the trash for you, maybe empty the dishwasher, you can program all these little tasks into
it. Does it mow grass?
Your house. I'm sure it could.
Diaper changes.
I mean, would you trust it with your baby?
No.
Hamilton, no, probably not.
In the off chance you do get one, do not let a robot. I mean, the people are claiming that the Teslas can't even drive themselves. The last thing you want to do is let a cybernoid system made out of pure metal wired to the internet, you know, mm-hmm. conspiracy theories galore with that one, touch your very sensitive, dainty newborn baby.
Yeah, you know, on second thought, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Oh my God. That is terrifying.
I'd let it mow the grass though, for sure.
I'd let it mow the grass.
Take the trash out, do the dishes.
I mean,
I don't know if I'd want it in my house though. You're kind of creeped out by that.
Yeah,
what if they're just trying to sell them and then everyone gets one and then all of a sudden someone with the controls just. Now I sound like Brian.
Well, but you're absolutely right, though, because people are talking about the conspiracies with the electric cars and they're going to turn them off and all the rest of it. But that's true.
You're only crazy until you're right.
Well, we knew that one would get your attention, Brian. Oh, my God. No. But that thing will be connected to the internet. And let's just assume that it's very popular, because I'll tell you what, 20,000, I'm buying one. I am. You program that bad boy to make me a cup of coffee sandwich.
You think we'd get a BOGO deal? Like a sponsorship? Buy one, get one half off or something?
Ask the guy. We can split the cost of one and a half. Ask him if he can get you one for a dollar off if we do our faces all over it.
We'll take a picture with it.
I want one of them. But as I'm saying, you know, eventually, like, you know, they're wildly popular. They'll do the vacuuming. They'll do all this stuff. Let's just say there's millions of them. And then someone hacks it.
Yeah, it's that's what
Terminator.
I'm saying.
We did the Terminator thing last week, but
it's iRobot.
The term what?
iRobot, where all the slave robots come and fucking revolt and kill everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, look, listen. Are we also missing the sexual potentials that this one bring as well? You know, I don't want to go there. This.
But, yeah, we're missing that on purpose.
Stick a mask on it. Stick a wig on it. You know, I'm just saying that's not me. And
that's all it would take was a wig. Like, forget the fact that the whole body's made out of metal and it's a
robot.
Have
you met my wife? Do you know what I mean? Jesus Christ. I know some people that have been with worse. On one of those nights out when I was about 18, 19 years old.
One of those blackouts.
We'd walk up next to worse. I'm kidding. But you know what I mean. There's some freaky people out there, isn't there? I mean, yeah. You know, if you can program that to mow your lawn,
yeah, I'm in.
It can thrust in and out. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, moving on because it's gross and very immature.
So if we're talking about dumb shit, I really have something I'd like to show you guys and get your opinion on. This is from Russia.
Okay.
Oh man, I was still in the robot pumping thing.
Yeah. Oh. Oh my
this is car jujitsu.
It's not car jujitsu. That's just
I would dominate here.
Oh, you would as well. He's got a good on the hook.
There's a world championship
right now. He's trying to get control of the driver's position. It's a dominant position. It's like being up against the cage in mixed martial arts. Right now, he's past the full mount in the passenger seat. Right now, you're going to see he's going to reach for the seatbelt. He's going to tie him in with that. He's defending. I mean, what next?
Yeah.
What next? You weren't kidding, Anthony, Brian, when you said you want to see some dumb shit. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. That robot.
Phone's going off. I was going to bring it. There was like these robots, like these. It's you were talking about sex with robots and made me think of this.
Talking about sex with robots.
That's exactly what you were talking about. Now that I said it, people are going to clip just that one part.
Sexual robots.
That's what you said. That's what I'm saying you said. I don't think you actually did, but I'm going to tell people you did.
I did.
There was like these like jerk-off robots in China or something where people just walked up to these little machines and then they just stuck it in there and just, you know, got off and rolled out and just put like a $5 bill in or something. I bet Brian could find it if he really wanted to.
I'm sure Brian's found it many a time. and he's saving up the money to get a flight there as we speak. Kidding, Brian. All right, anyway, let's get back on the track. So DC, we all love Daniel Cormier, top guy. He's going to be commentating the WWE, Hamilton.
No. I'm very sorry, but like, here's a picture of this thing.
Okay, now back to the robots.
I told you.
What is it?
It's a sperm extractor.
That's a very fancy way of saying a machine that sucks you off. No. What is that?
You have to swipe your debit card and walk up to it, dude.
Swipe your debit card, swipe your dick. Oh my God. What, Brian, what country is that in? It's got to be Thailand or China.
China.
Yeah, so you can't do jack shit in China, but you can have go get it. That looks like a public setting as well. You're just walking through the local mall, you know. Yeah. The mood fancies you. Slip, you know, like normal malls, you stick a, you know, stick a couple of quarters in the little kids' rides that go back and forth.
It's probably with the kiosks. Like you can get a cell phone case, shoelaces. Like, oh, what's this over here?
You gonna get sucked off, Harrington? I noticed that you joined the chat at this moment.
Well, yeah, because I looked into it. It's actually a medical thing. So it's like, to instead of going to a doctor's office to give a sperm sample, you can just go into CVS and give one right there in the sperm extractor machine.
Oh, the sperm extractor machine. Oh my God, I would say that's the name of today's podcast, but
sperm extractor.
We be monetized on this show.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's not gonna. YouTube is very sensitive. Do you know what I mean? All we're right. not gonna go with that one.
I'm bringing it up.
just want to say I'm really happy for DC. So Harrington, what is the score there? So he's now, I saw his Instagram post or something, or I saw a mock-up of him in like a referee's uniform, refereeing a WWE fight. I don't watch the WWE. I know you do, Anthony, and probably you do, Harrington.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I do know DC, and a lot of people are massive fans of it, and maybe I'm missing something. I tried to get Lucas into it. He wasn't bothered. Anyway, DC's a massive fan. He's a massive fan, and he's a fantastic guy. So I could not be happier for him, because I'm sure he's pretty pumped about this. Oh, there it is, yeah.
Yeah, he's the special guest referee for Matt Riddle, former MMA fighter, versus Seth Rollins at Extreme Rules this Saturday night.
That's awesome.
Good for him.
This is your time.
Good for him. Good for him. That's really cool. First of all, Matt Riddle was in the UFC, right? And
yep.
You know, ended up out of it. But he's wildly popular in the WWE, which I think is fantastic, you know, to make that switch or whatever. My 8-year-old loves Seth Rollins, really, because she likes saying Seth freaking Rollins, because she thinks she's allowed to say a bad word. But you know, whatever. But I'm kids. Happy for DC. I think if DC could go back and change anything, I bet he would go into the WWE. Maybe not like change his career, but if he could add something onto it.
You mean rather than the UFC?
No. I think if he could go back and add something that he really wanted to do, because I think at this point it's probably a little bit past his opportunity. But I think if he could go back and add something along with what he's already done, I bet he would go and compete in the WWE.
Well, he always wanted to do that. That's why he was so happy when he knocked out Stipe when Brock Lesnar came into the cage.
Yeah.
You know, number one, massive opportunity, fantastic payday. But, you know, to fight Brock Lesnar, you know, being the WWE crossover guy would have been huge for him. He's a massive. I'm so happy for him, because everyone loves DC, as do I. Mm-hmm. He's awesome, and he's gonna be like a kid in a candy store with that. So well done, DC.
I wish he would have got that Brock Lesnar fight. I wish he could have seen that. Ngannou's a piece of shit. Miocic's a piece of shit. What a promo, DC. Yeah. I'm coming for you, motherfucker.
And then he pushes DC, and DC goes full. Yeah. I remember how far DC went, and I think DC tried to push you back, and Brock Lesnar hardly moved.
That's a big ass dude.
Big. How do you think that fight would have gone down?
I think DC would have made him look worse than Kane did.
Ooh, it's a hot take.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Hot take. You think
I don't mean a hot take. I also believe that DC would.
Oh beat yeah.
I just mean to beat him worse than Kane did. I mean, Kane.
It might be hard to do.
An insane beatdown on him. I'm just saying that's hard. I mean, that's a high bar of ass kicking to achieve.
I just think DC was a better top control guy than Kane was. Kane got lots of takedowns, but he wasn't the guy that just held everyone down for long periods of time. Like if DC ended up on top of you, that's just where you fucking ended up. You know, I think he would have dominated him more. Maybe not beat him up worse. Because, you know, Brock was able to get back up, and then Kane would outstrike him and he'd take him down again and Brock would get back up. But I think DC would have taken Brock down and just finished him.
Kane Velasquez was so deadly with his hands, though, as well. I mean, he had beautiful boxing, didn't he? And, you know, poor old Kane.
Was it that Nogueira knockout?
I fought on that card
in
Australia. Yeah, I fought on that. And I was backstage. I don't know if I'd already fought. No, he was the main event, so I must have been the co-main event. I think, was it Wanderlei Silva? Regardless. I remember seeing that knockout. I mean, it was beautiful and absolutely devastating. I was just going to say, you know what? All this time, we've just been carrying on with life, doing the podcast, doing our shows, fighting people. Poor old Kane, still locked up away from his family after all this time.
So it's just crept on by too, you know, and that's the sad part. Everyone was so supportive at the beginning, but that's how it goes. Everyone right away is super supportive and everyone's really paying attention to it and they're tuned in, and you know, it just slowly slips to the back of everyone's minds and the bottom of media stories. And you know, until he has another court date, you won't hear about it again.
Yeah, it is. Well, as you say, it is life and everyone has to get on with life. And sadly, you know, and everyone knows our feelings on this, and any father on the planet sympathizes with him. And look, listen, you know, we don't want to retrace all ground, but he has to accept a certain level of responsibility. But the man shouldn't be rotting in a police station whilst he awaits trial, in my humble opinion.
No, I think that's the truest thing with this whole ordeal. Is he going to face some consequences? For sure. Does he deserve that? For sure. Is he willing to do that? I would bet that he mulled that over in his head before he did what he did.
Yep.
Like knows he's going to suffer.
Yeah. And there'll be some kind of, you know, mitigating circumstances, temporary insanity, whichever avenue you want to go down. There's certainly many avenues of defense.
But he's not a threat to society.
Like not in the slightest.
He should be allowed to be free with his family while he's, you know, kind of battling this in court.
Technically, me and you are more of a threat to society. We're the ones with rather extensive criminal records. He'd never been arrested in his life.
And poor Kane's just sitting there rotten.
Anyway, shout out Kane and all the best to his family as well. And we're obviously, as a community, all hoping for the best result. All right, so big MMA news stories. Harrington, throw something off. Ben Rothwell. Obviously, he got a big knockout there. Yeah, good for him. What else we got? Cormier to Luke Rockhold needs to do jiu-jitsu, not talk about coming back. What do we think? AKA, Javier Mendez says, Islam Makhachev the best lightweight? What else do we have here? Darren Till. Speaking to Darren Till this morning, by the way, we had a little FaceTime with him and his partners from Block Acid. Going to come on the show very, very soon. As I said, we'll be getting guests on a regular basis, just bloody hard on the other side of the goddamn world. All right, let's have a quick talk about FitBod. Listen, we're all trying to get in shape. We all want to work out. We all want to stay lean. We want to be healthy. We want to be more desirable. But sometimes you don't know what to do in the gym, okay? Or your workout routines get stagnated. Well, that is where FitBod comes in because, look, listen, yeah, it's all well and good. If you can afford it, if you're loaded, working with a personal trainer, it's great, but it's expensive. You know, sometimes you do it for a small period of time. Maybe you think, I'm going to splash out. But year round, doing that year round, 2, 3, 4 times a week, once a week even, it's a lot of money. That is where FitBod comes in because it's a smart workout app for one. Let's just get that on the table. It creates custom dynamic exercise programs for you based on your goals, experience, and the equipment you have available. And then it varies your routine to help stop the boredom and to stop you overtraining. It has an algorithm which uses data and analytics to scientifically build your best next workout so you can maximize your results. You can see all your charts. You know, you got your muscle usage, your recovery, your achievements, all the progress that you're making. You can see it all right there in the app. So you get to see it in real time and a display showing all the progress that you're making. So you get that, you know, get that extra little bit of feedback. You're in control with workouts designed just for you. So you're getting exactly what you need. And as I said about those, you know, working with a personal trainer, well, for less than the cost of one session with a personal trainer, you can now get a full year of personalized workouts with FitBod. You fit exercise into your schedule because, listen, it's down to you, innit? Because the best time of the day to exercise, it's whenever you like and whenever you're free. By the way, it works with Apple, iOS, all those devices. App is easy to use. It's got video tutorials on the exercises, so it makes learning all the new exercises a breeze. Trust me, you're going to love this one. And we've got a great offer. Go to fitbod.me/believe, right? If you do that, you're going to get 25% of your subscription, or you can try the app out for free when you sign up to fitbod.me/believe. 25% off, or you can just try it for free. You're going to love it. Listen, there's no reason to not work out with this thing. You can do it at home. You can do it at the gym. You do it very, very cheaply as well. And you're going to love it. You're going to get results, and you're going to thank me. But you're going to go to fitbod.me/believe. 25% off. Harrington, go on then. Make us all dumber, please, for a split second.
Okay. Let's see here then.
Okay.
So how about this? The we all know how, you know, serious of a deal cheating in mixed martial arts is, but another sporting community was rocked by a cheating scandal this weekend with the fishing world. Right. Dealing with an issue where there was a tournament, a $30,000 purse on the line, and some people added some weights and some fish scale to, you know, an already caught a group of fish there, bumping them up by about 10 pounds, winning them the title until they get caught, until they got caught for this cheating scandal.
So they took fish. Mm-hmm. They inserted them with weights.
Mm-hmm.
However you do that without killing a fish.
You just shove it down its mouth.
All right. Well, I don't know. You shove weights down a human's mouth. You're going to kill him. And we're a bit more evolved than a bloody fish. I'm just
not
I'm
by like, a lot. Not by a lot.
Yeah. I'm like, in my mind, I reckon if you grab a fish and you stuff metal weights down it, I thought that would kill it.
No. So this wasn't a catch and release tournament. Like, they caught these fish, brought them in at the end, and then weighed them. So I'm assuming there was no intention of the fish actually surviving.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a catch and release tournament. It don't matter. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Because I was going to say, I mean, and then you release it back into the river. How do you know you're going to catch that same fish? Okay, so all they had to do was present a fish and say, I caught this. They filled it with weights to claim the $30,000 prize, but they cheated.
Yeah, so I obviously fish. So I heard this. I seen this whole story, and the whole video is a goddamn mess. Like, I'm surprised those guys didn't get the absolute fucking shit beat out of them, because fishermen don't play that game. And there's a lot of money in competitive fishing. So these guys, not that long ago, won like $200,000 in prizes over a couple tournaments. And then like two $80,000 fishing boats, one a piece, because they're partners.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of money in fishermen and fishing tournaments and sponsorships and boats and endorsements. There's a lot of money there. So you get five fish, and you just weigh in your five biggest fish at the end of the tournament. Well, apparently there had been some questions, because after a lot of these tournaments, you have to do a polygraph test afterwards to make sure that you didn't cheat. And it's a serious deal.
They should do that in MMA when you get busted. Polygraph test as well.
For sure. If they do it in fishing tournaments, I don't know why you wouldn't do it in other sports, but
they do it in murder trials. It's good enough for them.
Right. But they'd failed their polygraphs apparently in the last couple tournaments. And for whatever reason, they just kind of brushed it. So they knew something was sketchy. Well, the tournament director, like, fishermen are very, if you catch enough fish, you can look at it and know how long it is and have a pretty good idea what it weighs. And there was something off. So they started cutting the fish open, and there was big chunks of fish fillets. So in five fish, they added 8 pounds of weight to win this tournament, and then got caught in front of every single person in this tournament, and they were ready to mob these goddamn guys. It was insane. God. Yeah.
Some angry redneck fishermen. Yeah. That'd be a tough pissed. Crowd.
And the poor guy's just like, I almost felt bad for him, because he was probably scared for his life.
Yeah. Well, you know, cheaters never prosper. The real question is, it's like when somebody tests positive for steroids in our sport, then you ask the question, how long have they been doing this? And you just said that him and his buddy have been killing it. They've been winning bots. They've been winning $200,000 prizes. Yeah, this is the rig. This is what have you
seen
been doing.
Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, man.
Brian?
This is where you ask Brian for it. I feel uncomfortable when I ask him.
Do it. Just throw it out there. See how it feels.
Hey, Brian. Do you have a video?
I didn't like it.
Fuck.
Brian, can you just pull that video up, please, if you just take a look while we talk?
God damn it, it came right up.
Immediately. Immediately.
I'm out of here.
Look at that. This is where they cut the fish off.
Everybody listen to me right now. Wait, Jake. I want you to leave. I don't want anybody to touch these guys. I want
you to go to jail.
Go to jail.
Tell the cops. You fucking bullshit.
Here we go. Then he cuts it open.
You fucking piece of shit.
Don't we need to file a police report?
Yeah.
Jason, we're filing police reports.
They're big. That's not good.
Look at this. Is
my
clay fish,
a walleye fillet.
No, yeah, it just goes on like this for the whole time. People are screaming. They get angry.
People are mad.
They're like talking about going, like putting these guys in jail. The cops ended up showing up. Because, I mean,
beating the crap out of them.
Essentially, you're like, it's a theft situation for sure. I'm not sure that I'd get all fired up like that. But yeah, something. Yeah.
Apparently, the guy had won like $250,000 over the past year in these fishing competitions. So
I don't know if you were paying attention to the conversation for the last 5 minutes.
I'm
Brian,
sorry.
Anthony went over that in quite the detail.
I literally got a phone call from Ralph and I needed to put him away. I'm
sorry. Oh, so you hate us. So you hate us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And tell the owner of the company that if he ever interrupts the podcast again and distracts my producer from doing his job, which he does very well, then I'll slap him. Reality is competitive sports, money to be made. People are always going to look for a way to cheat. Let that be a lesson to you, fishing weirdos. What's the biggest fish you've caught, Anthony?
The biggest fish I've caught?
Yeah.
On rod and reel or by hand?
Oh, Jesus Christ, my God. Rod and reel. What do you mean by hand? Do you mean you pull them out of the water with your hands?
Yeah.
Bare hands.
Bare hands, like 85?
Pounds?
Yeah. There was a small kind of fish. It was a... They're called grass carp. They get real big. And these people like put them in this public pond like years and years and years ago. And then they, over time, they overgrew the pond. So they had to drain it. And when it was halfway drained, me and my buddies just jumped in and just grabbed
it. Yeah, right. Yeah, but that's not really fair, is it? Do you know what I mean? They're fat. They're overweight. They've outgrown the pond. The bloody, you know, the water subsided. They can hardly swim.
They were on killing everything. I mean, it was
they're gasping for fucking air.
No,
and you're just
they were in water.
I caught an 85-pound fish.
No, they were in water. They just half drained it so they could get the fish out. But it's not like they were helpless. Like. They were eating everything else in the water. So like, anyways, I've done that. So I've caught probably a 50-pound catfish, like noodling it just like that out of a river.
What about a rod and reel? Excuse me.
Rod and reel, much smaller, probably 30.
Yeah.
That's tougher.
That's still good.
Like
though.
Noodling is pretty dangerous though. A lot of people die every year noodling. Yeah.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but it's not me always, and Luke once went you get through a phase.
Once you get a hold of a fish that size, it's literally even a 50-pound fish like almost drug me underwater. Like I that's why you never do it alone. So you have friends help get you back to the top because it's just a 50-pound chunk of muscle. Well,
muscle, yeah, exactly.
And it's not so much as I've gotten older. I haven't done it in a long time, but because I realize how stupid it is. But the holes that you go in, it's not the fish that I'm worried about. It's snapping turtles and beavers and snakes and all sorts of other shit that you don't want to stick your hand in a snapping turtle's mouth in a hole. That's a fucking problem.
I just want to. Lucas wishes that you were his father. He does. He's obsessed with animals and nature and he loves fishing.
Oh, so he doesn't want me. Most of everything I get a hold of doesn't go back.
No, he's not too bothered. He wants to kill invasive species. He wants to hunt. He just watches hunting programs now. He does love animals. But anyway, the point I'm saying is because we went fishing for a while and he loved it. And it was a lovely little thing we would do together. But we never caught a goddamn thing. And it kind of kills the vibe. Do you know what I mean? There's no fun when you don't catch anything. Didn't even get a bite once until we went on a fishing trip on a boat. Mm-hmm. We were catching it. Everyone was catching it. And, you know, but it's not quite the same thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Going down the little river by our house, just sitting there, me and him on a Saturday morning. Bored.
It does sound
out of
fun.
Our fucking minds. Next time, I'm going to invite you to my house now. You're going to come to my place, bring the whole goddamn family. We'll do Disneyland. We'll do all that stuff. Fishing trip on the
fishing.
Ocean.
Fuck
yes.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
You just got to keep teaching him that a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work.
But probably not as much fun as sitting on his computer.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can't really use that till he's got a job.
Yeah, no, I know. Exactly. Anyway, MMA podcast, all that good stuff. Harrington, what's the biggest story? I shouldn't ask you because you always go to the most obscure one, but... What do we have going on in the world of MMA? It's one of those, it's a little, obviously we still have great fights on. There was apparently some interesting fights in Bellator at the weekend with a couple of nasty injuries that I saw someone talking about, a leg snap and Aaron Pico dislocated his shoulder. Didn't see it, but obviously we got UFC 280 around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So much to talk about there. 81, Adesanya, lots of big fights coming up towards the end of the year. But nothing groundbreaking, you know, other than McConor McGregor threatening to cave my head in. What else we got, Harrington?
Well, yeah, I was going to
bother you.
No, it doesn't. I'm laughing. It's like literally water off a duck's back.
Well, I was going to go with the Bellator stories, but you know, because you shamed me a little bit, I'm going to go throw you a curveball. Somebody from the earlier when you put on Twitter, people asking questions to the show.
Yes.
Somebody asked, between UFC 280 and UFC 281, if you could only pick two fights from both of those cards, which one would you guys choose and why?
A better question would be, which main event do we prefer? Because that's hard to answer. I mean, we've got Charles Oliveira taking on Islam Makhachev, which is just a blockbuster, intriguing, dynamic fight in every single way. And then you've got Pereira taking on Adesanya, which, again, exact same thing. So never mind the guy on Twitter, because we don't know the entire fight cards off the top of our heads from top to bottom, Harrington. 280, 281, main event, which do you prefer and why, Mr. Smith?
I think I prefer Adesanya and Pereira. And I think I prefer that because of the absolute unknowns there. We kind of know what's going to, like, I can give you one of maybe three or four different ways that the Makhachev Oliveira fight's going to go. If Charles can defend a takedown, we kind of know how that's probably going to go. He's probably going to outstrike him. If he can't, but he can be dangerous off his back and he can create scrambles and get back to his feet, we kind of know how that's going to go. If he can't do that and he's stuck on his back, I have a pretty good idea how that's going to end. I have no goddamn idea what's going to happen with Adesanya and Pereira, because I don't know how Izzy's going to react to a guy that's willing to fight him on his terms. I don't know how aggressive Pereira is going to be. Is he going to sit back and be more technical? Is he going to be overly aggressive and chase him? I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen there. And I think that's why it's more interesting to me.
Interesting. I'm going to disagree for just the purpose of debate. And whilst, you know, I'm wildly excited for both fights, it's not like, oh, that one's going to suck. No.
Yeah.
Pereira Adesanya, I can't wait for it, because everything you just said, will he be the man to dethrone Izzy? Can he knock him out? He's going to be aggressive. He's going to go forward. He's going to bring the best out of Izzy. I think it's going to be an absolutely sensational fight. But in terms of a mixed martial arts contest, which obviously the UFC is, Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev, there's a lot of questions. It's, will the fight play out on the feet? Will Charles Oliveira be able to knock him out on the feet? Will he get dropped? Will he get taken down from Islam? Will he allow the takedown? When they hit the floor, are we going to see the two best grapplers in the lightweight division? Can Islam stop the submission attempts? You know, can Oliveira add to another? It'll be 17th submission in the UFC in enemy territory. Islam Makhachev is a devout Muslim. Obviously, Abu Dhabi is a heavily influenced Muslim culture there as well. So he's going to have a huge reception and following and support there. Oliveira's walking into enemy territory. The most exciting fighter on the goddamn planet, if you ask me right now. Mm-hmm. The comeback story is sensational. Islam's supposedly the most best well-rounded fighter that Khabib's coach, Javier Mendez, has ever trained. You know, they're both top of the food chain in the toughest division in the UFC, lightweight. Yeah, I mean, they're both phenomenal fights. But if I had to pick one, that's the one that really gets my juices flowing.
And again, I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, they're both fantastic fights. I think we're getting spoiled with riches here on both of those ones. And I'm just happy they didn't put them both on the same card. Because a lot of times you get two really good fights like that, and they will main event, co-main, and, you know, go, I don't know, they'll stack it. I almost like that we kind of got to wait on the next one. You know, I like that they're spreading it out.
What do you think, and obviously, you know, I don't think we're going to get to find out the numbers anyway, but what do you think would do the bigger numbers out of the two? And I don't want to sit here and dissect the UFC's business model or anything like that, because that's none of my business. But in terms of star power at the top, I feel like it'll be somewhat comparative.
I think it'll be close. If I had to guess, if one overtook the other one, I would guess it would be the lightweight title fight. Because Oliveira, he's gotten the rub from a lot of good guys. The Chandler rub, you got the Gaethje rub, and the most important one, I think, was the Dustin Poirier one.
Oh, sorry, I thought he was going to say on the Islam side is the Khabib rub as well.
And Islam's got the Habib rub.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean Habib. But
Oliveira is so. I'd love to see what his life looked immediately before this run. to like kind of be in the know and in his circle, I would have loved to see the evolution, because as champion, you know, I don't, but I've seen it a little bit. Your life just drastically changes. And with the huge fights that he, I seen a stat the other day that said with a win over Makhachev, Oliveira's fought every other guy in the top five in a year and a half. If he's if he beats Makhachev, well, he will have beaten every single person in the top five in a year and a half.
Oh my God, which is absolutely wild.
That's fucking insane.
It's
some guys only fight once every year and a half.
And talking about how his life changed, and you very kindly say, I know it. I mean, I had three title fights for the UFC. I'm very proud of that, but it's nothing compared to what a lot of other people have. I won the belt, I defended it, and I lost it in the next one. But he's been there at the top for the while, fighting the best guys. Mm-hmm. You know, from the slums, the favelas of Brazil. We all saw the homecoming that he got, to now earning ridiculous money, you know, and that's the way it is. And that money goes a lot further in Brazil, in the favelas, than what it does in California. Yep. Let me tell you that right now. That guy's living the life down there. No, I'm so excited for both those fights. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Well, I hate to say this, guys. And by the way, thank you all for subscribing, ringing the bell if you haven't done so, do that. If you've got a question, send it into bympod@gmail.com. But it's 11:30 at night here. I've got to be up in 5.5 hours, and I was already exhausted when I started this podcast. But I've had a good laugh, and I don't feel it anymore, but I'm looking at the time and I'm like, I've got another probably 12 or 16 hour day on set tomorrow, so I gotta hit the sack soon. If you've got a question, please video question, send it to bympod@gmail.com. Mike Harrington.
If you are enjoying this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show. Please leave a positive review and a 5-star rating. It really helps us out. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell so you find out whenever a new episode comes out. And if you're watching live, just hit that little like button. You know, that's pretty cool for the first hour. Also, if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
And I'm going to do this as well. We're going to throw out a little competition. We've been talking about merch for a while, and I've dropped the ball on it because I had a company doing some stuff, and they were doing some stuff for my YouTube channel as well, and I've just been so busy. There's a lot of things I haven't been executing. We want t-shirt designs. We want it from you. If you're a graphic designer, or you have the ability to design a t-shirt, if you want to send it in to bympod@gmail.com, the best one we will print up and we'll figure out some kind of prize. I'll send you some stuff. I'm sure Anthony will send you some bits. Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. Send in the best t-shirt design if you can be bothered. Maybe if you can't be bothered, if you're just rolling your eyes right now saying, shut the fuck up, get to the questions, I apologize. But if you want to design some t-shirts for us for free, we'll get them printed up. Anyway, Brian, what have we got, bud?
All right, so I know you're a little tired today, but I am going to put you to work. This first question here is from Michael Ruddle. He's the guy who gives us the charity challenges, and he has another one at the end of this video for you.
What's up, guys? I've got a few questions today. Hopefully you can answer all of them, or at least some of them, or none of them if you're show. But if nothing else, at least I can say congrats, Harrington, on your impending fatherhood. Question number one. I'm choosing my words carefully here. If you were talking to Karen Bryant sitting at the analyst desk, what would you tell her are the keys to victory in a light heavyweight fight between Anthony Smith and Michael Bisping? Question number two, inspired by my son, he's 5, he's in kindergarten, and he just asked me, Daddy, what do you do for work? So how would you answer that question, describing your job as a professional MMA fighter to a 5-year-old? Question number three is,
wow,
the UFC security at the face-offs. Can any of those guys actually fight? And finally, of course, I have a charity challenge for Bisping. This time, it's $50 per correct answer to the Florida Disaster Fund to support recovery efforts from Hurricane Ian. At UFC 199, there were 12 fights that happened before you beat Luke Rockhold to win the title on 2 weeks' notice. All you have to do is name as many of those 24 fighters as you can in 30 seconds. Go.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you very much for the question. This is called Send a Question, right? If we answer all of them, if we're going to be here a long time. So what we'll do is I'll pick one. I'll answer the 199 question. You answer a question. Okay. I'll do the charity challenge, but I'll answer one of the questions. I'll answer the security thing about the UFC. The security guys at the UFC, they do a phenomenal job. And shout out to those guys because they do such a hard job, as do all the staff backstage of the UFC, don't they, Anthony? You know what I mean? They're on the road.
That's a lot of work.
Every goddamn week. That finely polished machine that we see, you know what I mean? That slick presentation.
We're a small part of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely
small
right. There's an army of people, and they're on the road. Granted, the Apex is a common fixture now, you know, but they're still on the. And these people, they give up their lives essentially. It's crazy, isn't it, Anthony?
It's super crazy. It, like, you know, when I'm hanging out with Elliot or something, you know, he's one of the higher ups in security.
Yep, good guy. Shout out, Elliot.
Yeah, I love Elliot. Love Elliot. My family loves Elliot. That's how much we see these guys. But, you know, when a Saturday event ends, typically they got to travel in Monday anyway. So they go from Saturday events, they fly out Sunday to the next location. You know, especially when we're traveling a bunch, those guys are on the road. You know, Elliot's on the road 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. He's got two kids. Yep. He's got a wife.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of those guys are. As far as if they can fight, most of them can fight a little bit, but to be fair, a lot of them are military guys. So fighting them is the least of your worries. If you're someone that's trying to get yourself into some trouble, they will all shoot you.
But that's what I was going to say. And you're right. I mean, we're talking about security there. I mean, there's so many roles, so many jobs. The guys that put the octagon together, the guys in the production van, the producers, the commentators, the the runners, the people in the blue shirts, you know, people that bring, you know, just day to day, usher the fighters around. It's they work so hard. So shout out and maximum respect to every single one of them. There's two English guys that do a lot of security, Big Tall Steve and his friend Tiny. Two big dudes, two English guys. Steve and Tiny. Women love Steve, by the way. Women love Steve. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. And I love them both as friends.
I love them both too, yeah.
They're awesome. They're such solid, awesome guys. And to answer your question, as you said, military guys, they were, if I'm getting this right, hardcore SAS guys. You know, and Steve was like quite high up. So they're well respected, not to be messed with, mother effers. You know what I mean? So fighting, I reckon the guys in the cage could probably fight better in hand to hand, but I guarantee, you know, if shit hits the fan, they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm going to find Steve when shit hits the fan. That's what I'm doing. Right.
I want Steve and Tiny. Get them both there.
I'll take it.
All right. Charity challenge. Michael Bisping versus Luke Rockhold, bing, $50. Uriah Faber, Dominic Cruz, bing, $100.
Hold on. Sorry.
Hold on. Don't say it. Max Holloway versus, what was his name? And they were pointing at the floor at the end of it. That was a good one.
Ricardo Lamas.
That's what I said, Ricardo Lamas, bing, $150. That's what I said. Yeah, it is what I said. I think that's it.
That's time right there.
Yeah. Anthony, what's your question and answer?
What did he ask? His five-year-old.
What do you tell your kids?
I punch people in the face for money. I mean, I've never hidden it. My kids know exactly what I do. So, yeah, I fight and I try to beat up other people and I get paid for it.
Yeah. But that is what you do. What are you going to lie about?
What was the other question? The keys to victory. My key to victory to fighting Michael Bisping is to not get punched in the face 150 times a round.
My keys to victory of fighting Anthony Smith are make sure he doesn't go after this side because I won't be able to see a fucking punch.
Fuck, I should have said that. Lots of left hooks.
I thought that's what you were going to say. I really
did. Damn, I missed a great opportunity there.
By the way, Mike, thanks for the question, but shit stirring much? My God, what are you doing? We have got to have like a little grapple sometime, though, and we should make that happen. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Rock Auto. We love Rock Auto. You love Rock Auto, and that's why they've been in business for 20 bloody years. Why? Because they have everything that you need for a car. If you're working on a car, you're fixing a car, you want it, you want to improve your car and you need a part, rockauto.com. is where you want to go, and it's cheap. That's why they've been in business over 20 years, okay? You haven't got to go to the store. You haven't got to sit in traffic. You haven't got to talk to some guy. You're going to wait in line. You're just going to go to rockauto.com. Okay, we don't even have a code for you because the prices are so goddamn ridiculously cheap. No middleman. That's partly why. Well, it is why. There's no middleman. No storefront markups. Just everything that you need for a car at the lowest prices. And you just look at it on your phone, laptop, computer, and they send it to your house very, very fast. So what more are you waiting for? Why would you drive in your car and park up and all that crap, find a parking space when they've got everything that you want at the lowest prices? If you work on your own car, if you need something for it, why wouldn't you take advantage of this? Go to rockauto.com. You don't even need a code because, as I said, it's so blooming cheap already. Rockauto.com. But tell them that you heard about us here, please, on the Believe You Me podcast, if you don't mind. And yeah, there it is, rockauto.com. Enjoy. All right, let's get back into it. Brian, what else we got?
All right, we got another one here. It's from Mr. Forrest Rooney, and he addresses the last time he sent in a question.
Okay, Forrest.
What's up, BYM? It's Forrest Rooney here. I'm the guy who had the dumbest question ever asked, and I'm going to try to redeem myself here with this one today. When you guys were young, when you were kids, when your teachers and parents said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm curious to know, what were your answers? Mine was a marine biologist. I don't know why. I used to like fishing. Now I'm scared to touch fish. They flip around too much and they're slimy and gross. And yeah, so. Yeah, did you guys come out the womb slapping triangles on the doctor or swinging lefts and rights? What, you know, what was your early life goals before you found out you wanted to be a fighter?
Well, Anthony, we've already clearly established that he grapples extremely heavy fish out of the water. And I said at UFC 199 when I won the belt, I said, I've been a fighter ever since I came out of my mother, which I meant was ever since I was born. So, yeah, not the best picture to paint. What did you want to be when you were a kid, Anthony?
I wanted to be a cop.
Nice.
Typical kid, probably. I still would, though. I would still be a police officer.
Steven Seagal joined the force very late. You're probably.
I don't want to be like a regular, you know, writing speeding tickets cop. I have a couple friends that are police officers, and they're like SWAT team guys. Like they're chasing big amounts of money and drugs, and they're all like really special units. Like I would want to do that. I'm not writing speeding tickets and shit. But
no.
Yeah. I still would.
I agree. That would be very, very cool. You know, Rebecca always says I would have made a good cop. You know, but that kind, yeah, as you say, writing speeding tickets.
Look, I'm not doing that shit.
I'd let them all go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Slow down, stupid. Get the fuck out of here.
Slow down. I'm not going to write you a ticket because I'm not a dickhead. Do you know what I mean? In England, we have a lot of speed cameras. You go 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, ding, the camera fucking gets you. It's ridiculous.
Oh, send it to you in the mail?
Yeah. And you get three points and a fine. You know, 12 points, Jesus. Obviously, you lose your license. I never knew what I wanted to do. Never knew. I had no. No. If you ask my mom, she'll say I always wanted to be a builder because I was going to build her a house. There you go.
Oh, there we go. That's sweet little Michael.
Sweet little Michael. You look after your mom, don't you? You know what I mean? Right. One more. It's getting later and later. I'm going to show up tomorrow. Zinakard. Go on.
All right. So this next question here is from a Mr. Dominic Winther.
All right, Dominic. Make it a good one.
All right, guys, just a question for Mike and Anne, if that's all right. So I'm 24, pretty bad drug addict, alcoholic, all that shit, but I'm working on it. Only two things I've found in my life that I've been truly passionate about has been MMA and heroin. Neither of them things are good for you, but no one's paying you to chase the dragon. They might pay me to kick someone in the head. Is it worth pursuing at my age, having never done anything, or should I just find something else to do all my time? Peace and love, guys. Wish you the best, Anthony. Hope you heal up. See ya.
Well, that's a really, really good question. And first of all, my brother, all the best with everything.
That was like kind of funny at first, and now I just feel bad.
Yeah, well, we're going to give him some great advice. You know, listen, everyone's going through tough shit, you know? Obviously, that sucks. A heroin addiction is no joke and one of the hardest things to kick, you know? But we're all behind you, buddy. And if you start having success in that, please send us in a follow-up video because we would love to support you on your mission. What was his name again, Brian? You know what I'm like. I always bloody forget.
Dominic.
Dominic. Well, all the best to you, Dominic. And, you know, to be honest, what you're talking about, they're doing MMA. Whether or not, and to be honest, the answer is at 24, no, you're not out of your mind. I did a lot of martial arts and I was a scrapper when I was a kid, but I didn't get serious about martial arts until like 24, 25 either. You can still do it if you want to do it, you know? But it's going to help you in what you're trying to achieve with your heroin addiction. You know what I mean? Trying to get a healthy lifestyle, because if you love MMA and you want to achieve that, you're not going to be able to by being a heroin addict. And you need something else to try and, what's the word I'm looking for? To try and, you've got to prioritize something else in your life, you know? Mm-hmm. And you need, when you get healthy, when you go and you work out and you release those endorphins, hopefully it helps you stay on the straight and narrow. You know, and who cares if you don't go off and become a professional MMA fighter? You're going to turn your life around. You're going to work on your fitness. You're going to learn some new skills. You're going to get fitter, and you're no longer going to be a heroin addict, and you're going to be a productive member of society. And it's an illness. You know what I mean? Everyone likes to scoff and look and judge, right? Whether you're an alcoholic, a heroin addict, or whatever kind of addiction issue that you have. But it's a fucking illness. And we're all behind you, my friend. And we wish you nothing but the best and success. And we hope you do it. You sent in a great question. You seem like a lovely lad. You seem like a lovely guy. I'm sure you got a family that love you. Think about the other people in your life, because guess what? You can always be one injection away from passing away and dying. And you don't want that for your family. And you're 24, man. You've got your entire life to live. You're still a baby. You're still a young man. Go out there and fucking live. Whether or not it's an MMA fight, whatever it is you do, there's a whole lifetime. There's a whole world to explore and things to achieve and go after, you know? And yeah, you know, it seems rich for me because I love a bevy. I love a drink and I've had my face partying and stuff like that. But come on, man, put yourself first, put your family first, put your life first and go out there and live it. Go after it. Come on, we're all behind you and we're rooting for you. What do you say,
Ann? Honestly, man, I echo a lot of that stuff, of everything you said. You got to replace it. Got to replace it. And in the interim, the worst thing about addictions is it overtakes everything else around you. I think MMA and martial arts and kind of what we do is we say all the time, and I think sometimes it gets missed in passing, that MMA saved my life or this sport saved my life. And it said so much that I think that people minimize what we actually mean when it's said by people that where it's really true. When I started training, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was partying my ass off. I was making stupid decisions. I was fucking life up big time. And I just found something that I liked more than that. And that's really what it comes down to when you're kicking addiction. You got to find something that you like more than that drug. And sometimes that's hard to do. And I think slowly over time, you'll start replacing that bad thing with the better thing. And that's really what you got to do. I think you're right too, as far as people scoffing at it. And I think it takes a lot of fucking balls to call into this show knowing lots of people are going to be watching this and just be goddamn honest. I think that's half the battle. I think people spend most of their lives or at least their lives during addiction, hiding it and not wanting anyone to see it and trying to fake it. And so, I mean, I think he's halfway fucking there already just by calling in and leaving a message and showing his face and saying, I got some fucking issues, but I need some advice. That's half the battle right there. So, and I agree. I hope he calls in or sends another video message and keeps us updated, even if it's not good. Like, you don't have to be fixed and perfect and have a whole bunch of good shit going on for you to send another question in and update us about what's going on. If you're still fucking it up, then fucking let us know and hold yourself accountable, and we'll keep on talking to you. That's for sure.
100%. And I'm so glad you said that as well, because hold on, what did you say? My mind went fucking blank then. Jesus Christ. No. Sorry. The point about having the balls and the courage just to send that video in. You're absolutely right. That takes so much strength. It does. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you know, like we were talking before about Mackenzie Dern having the realization and just being so honest to say, do you know what? I need to get better. And that's essentially what he's doing there. He's saying, I need to get better. I need to kick this. I'm not hiding it from the world. I'm throwing it out there. I have an addiction to heroin that I want to beat. And I also want to become an MMA fighter. And just doing that, taking that first step, because I know nothing about the 12 steps programs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But they always say, you know, you know, being honest, admitting that you have an issue first is the first big hurdle. So many people deny it. So many people hide. They put on a brave front. You know, I mean, people might sit here and say that I'm rich. Everyone thinks I'm an alcoholic. I'm not a fucking alcoholic. I enjoy a drink. Do I wish I drank less? Yes, I do. But it's not about me. It's about our friend here. The fact you took this step and you did that is fucking huge, man. It's huge, you know, and we're all behind you. You know, and anyone else that's going through something, whether it's alcohol, drugs, opioids, whatever the hell it might be, Harrington and his porn addiction. Do you know what I mean? There's lots of what was that machine called? The little sucky in and outy thing that he was obsessing over before. The sperm donator.
The sperm
extractor.
Extractor. That's the word.
Yeah, yeah. He's got an obsession with them. No, all jokes aside, though. But yeah, I'm proud of you, and I'm sure your family, if they were to see that, would be extremely proud of you as well. Because I'm sure you've had to deal with shame, ridicule, criticism, friends shunning you, losing jobs, members of the public. If you come from a small town or whatever, I kind of recognize your accent a little bit. But you know what I mean? People do. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a smackhead. He's a scumbag. Yeah. He's a drug addict, a heroin addict. You know what I mean? It's a fucking human being at the end of the day. It's got an issue. And a lot of the time, there's issues and there's addiction problems because of things that have gone on in the past. You know, that's generally the way it goes. And getting involved in MMA or any goddamn sport, it's going to help with that as well.
We're all fucked up. We're all fucked up. So you're going to find a community of people that are, that have either gone through it, they're already halfway there, they've already passed it. It's, you'd be blown away at how many different people are in this MMA community. You're going to find someone who's just like you pretty fucking fast.
Look at Court McGee.
Yeah, look at him.
Court McGee is the perfect example. He was exact same situation. He was a heroin addict, and now he never became the champ. He's still fighting, but he's a damn good fighter, a really good fighter.
He's winning at life.
And what a career that he's had. And now he's using those dark times that he went through to help other people. He's running all kinds of charities and groups where he helps other people that were addicted and shares his story, speaks to large groups, goes in to visit schools and things.
Yeah. Matt Brown, too.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, and listen, same here. I was never an addict, a drug addict, but I was out of control. I was partying every goddamn weekend. Yeah, I was doing drugs. I was out of my mind. Do you know what I mean? And then I found this and it gave me a reason, a want, you know, and that's what you need. You need a want and a desire and something greater. And never mind all of that. If you can't find those things, do it for your fucking self. Do it for your parents. Do it for your loved ones. But come on, man. But yeah, thank you. That was a great question. And by the way, in future, we love stuff like that. Let's get fucking real. We always talk bollocks and nonsense and be going about sperm extractors or whatever shit Harrington throws at us. But I love talking about some real shit like that for a change. So all the best to you, brother. All the best to you. And we all mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Right. Well, that got very serious, didn't it?
Yeah. Dude, I'm with you. I like getting serious sometimes and just, I don't know, spitting some knowledge, speaking some truth, you know. For some people, maybe it's uncomfortable, but you know what? A lot of people out there need to hear that stuff and they need to know that it's okay to not be okay. And I think that's important.
Hey, amen to that. And that's a great way to end the show. Love this episode. Great. Always talking to you, Harrington. Anthony. You can tell it's late here.
You just call me here.
I did call you Harrington.
You called me Harrington before, too. It's fine.
I know. I forgot what you were saying as I'm trying to piggyback on the advice. It's late. I'm tired.
It is.
Guys, we love all you believers. Send in those t-shirt designs. My friend, one more time, all the best. Anthony, Brian, Harrington. I love you.